Welcome to Los Angeles, California.
We're at the biggest video game trade show on the planet.
It's the Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Just call it E3.
Come on, we gotta go. Come on, let's go. Let's watch the scene. Let's get in here. Come on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the PMG Podcast. I'm your host, Marcel Delgado, here with Jose Orozco.
How's it going?
Alonso Castillo.
Hello, everybody.
And Sawyer Dolson.
Greetings, everyone.
We are here yet again another year to talk about E3. For those of you who aren't up to speed on what E3 is, I'm not really sure why you clicked on the show, but E3 is a time of the year where every big game company from Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, and various other publishers come together, tease their games that they're going to come out with, also sometimes announce consoles and other hardware, and every nerd and every geek around the world huddles around the monitors and argues and nerds out.
It's literally just like every other day.
Exactly. It's like, and it's like Christmas, and the beauty of it is that you can just, nothing's disappointed us yet, so we can just nerd out and get excited and bitch. So, like Jose said, just another day.
Yeah, I figured anybody tuning in is just wanting to listen to four guys bitch about things. That would be fun. You're like, ooh, I really just wanna. Mm.
It's in the name, pretty much geek, so I mean, that's kind of there. This year and the past few years, we've lost Sony's press conference because they do their own little thing on the side.
Yeah, usually I think around July.
I think
Sony's always got to do their own thing, don't they?
Mm-hmm. The weird thing this year is that the change that happened was we usually had the Bethesda conference and be its own thing, but now it's the Xbox and Bethesda conference because Xbox acquired Bethesda months ago. Weird seeing it. The fan in me was just like, all my right things are all together. It's kind of like when Disney bought Marvel and Star Wars, and it's like, this just works.
My favorite things all together.
Gentlemen, highlights. What were some of your main takeaways from it? Alonzo?
I mean, for me, I always got to start off, and you know, maybe because I'm a fanboy, maybe just because it is what it is. But I mean, Halo Infinite. Anything Halo from Microsoft is always going to stand out to me.
Amen. I can't
help it. I have a permanent soft spot in my heart for everything Halo. But, you know, it is interesting because originally when Halo Infinite was announced way back when, they did say that this was going to be the last story line with Master Chief in it, and you know, after the restructuring, after the debacle that really was the kind of like gameplay announcement back in 2019 of Halo Infinite, I was actually assuming that maybe they were going to change the direction and, you know, really change up what they were doing, and it seems like they have, but they recently just reconfirmed that this will be Master Chief's last story in Halo, and so I think it means a bit more just because of that knowledge that, damn, this really might be the last time I get to spend one last ride with Master Chief. And, you know, he was a big, big part of my childhood growing up. One final effort. So that's definitely a highlight for me.
The big thing for me, too, is chill over there with your Square Enix and your fucking Sony over there, boy.
So many. Just come on.
I never was a Halo guy either. I played a lot more, like, I know it doesn't go back that far, but I was playing Gears of War at the same time people were talking about Halo. And I really enjoyed Gears of War stuff, so I always wanted to be anti-Halo.
Dude, Halo back in the day. Halo 3, top tier. Halo 3, Modern Warfare 2, was the era.
I enjoyed Halo 2 more than Halo 3.
I enjoyed the games, yeah.
I didn't get to experience Halo 2 online. Halo 3 was when I got it.
I didn't play a lot of Halo, though. It was like whenever I would go to a friend's house that had Halo, and we decided to play that, which was few and far between. We would usually play GameCube, because that's more like multiplayer stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Smash Brothers.
Yeah, Smash Brothers, Mario Kart, Double Dash.
Double Dash is so fun.
Halo's been in the fucking doghouse for the past... It's going on a decade that we've been the Halo's just been kind of like on like the
I think
back
that's
burner.
Another reason why I'm just kind of like hating, because I'm like, they're not really even necessarily... like, the last time I've heard great things about a Halo game. Yeah, it feels like forever ago.
It was Reach, probably. So that was the last time.
I'm like, just let the sleeping dog die. Like, come on. Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, that's kind of the reason why I was so excited for, like, I guess weirdly the announcement of it ending, because I'm like, that's really what it is like, you know, because to be honest, like, I haven't been personally a big fan of the direction that 343 Industries has been taking with Halo, and you know, Halo, like I said, Halo to me is like, it means every, you know, it's kind of like any franchise, right? A franchise means something to every fan,
right?
And I think I'm just standing on the vast majority of Halo fans, where we felt like a lot of the choices that the industry was making, you know, and honestly, it's kind of like a lot of games in general, you know, like, that's something that's kind of beautiful about, like, the gaming industry, is how kind of it adapts to each other. But I always feel like there's a little bit of originality that gets lost in when something becomes sort of the norm. And what I mean by that is, for example, like, when Arkham Knight or Arkham City, I don't remember which one was the first one, when it came out, that fighting style was basically adopted by every single game that was sort of like an action adventure fighting style. And, you know, and Call of Duty, obviously being one of the most popular, you know, shooters, if not the most popular shooter of all time, you know, games like Halo, which were always kind of played differently, adopted the Call of Duty style of gameplay as well. And you know, maybe because it was better, maybe because it was streamlined, but I always felt like other games lost out on a little bit of their originality. And I guess for me, that big nail in the coffin is that knowing that this is Master Chief Lat's story, like, I'm kind of just, like, in it for the ride at this point. And I'm like, I hope it comes up with a good ending, but, you know, we'll see. But it's like, at this point, it's like, I'm too far along. I have one episode left. I've gone through the first five. Like, I just, you know, I gotta just finish it at this point.
And the thing is, also, it's like, this is finally ending this entire 343 era when they moved on from Bungie. They added their own lore. This is supposed to finalize it all and just be their push away from things. But they moved far from the character design, just the whole art design that they had. They were trying to go more sci-fi, and they're going more, leaning more into, like, a fine balance in between. But not just that, the last time that they announced or showed any gameplay, it got shit on because it looked like garbage. Yeah. And Halo Infinite looks infinitely better, is what I'll say.
I guess the last thing I have to say about it, though, is, like, realistically, and I think this really goes to say about kind of where Microsoft's, I guess, approach or focus is that, you know, most of the time whenever Halo would be announced, that would always be the pinnacle of the conference. Every E3, every time Halo's announced or anything about Halo is touched on, it's usually like a 15-20 minute segment. And this year, it honestly wasn't. It's like they showed the gameplay, they showed some trailer, and they kind of moved on. And I think in a weird way, it kind of shows a little bit of a maturing from Microsoft, I feel, where they don't necessarily have to just rely on their one big individual franchise that is Halo. And I feel like they're so focused on kind of just trying to make Xbox the best place to play games that, yes, like, you do get Halo, and yes, you get these other really amazing or potentially amazing first party games that are going to be obviously exclusives, but now they're just not, they're focusing on more and what's next. And I think that's also kind of what's exciting me about Microsoft, and honestly, even, like I said, Halo, but more than that, like, past that.
They're definitely moving into that, because now with the multiplayer, it's going to be free to play, which is a great decision on their part. I definitely like the route they're taking with this multiplayer. It looks more focused. It looks like they've listened to all the complaints that we've had over the past decade, and they're moving into a better light. I just want to know when the beta is going to come out, because that's when we're going to be able to see. I can speculate and hope and wish all I want. But until I have the game, have the controller in the hand, I actually play it, we'll see. Campaign also looks dope. I'm excited, but I will be optimistic to an extent, because my heart has been hurt before with 343, mainly with Guardians. But in the meantime, I think that was great. It didn't kick off the segment, because what really kicked off the Microsoft and Bethesda conference was Starfield, which we've been hearing for years.
It looks so fun. Yeah, it looks like really good, like, realistic approach to the like, outer space genre that we've been getting a lot, like, of sci-fi.
Starfield.
Yeah, have you seen the preview for that?
No, which one's Starfield?
That's their next IP.
Yeah, new Bethesda. It looks really cool.
They said it. Todd Howard stated that it's going to be Skyrim in space and a Han Solo simulator.
And we know Todd Howard can always follow through on promises.
It just works.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm not, you know, I'm not big on space stuff. You know, like space games, I don't know what it is.
You just mentioned how much you love Halo.
No. That's sci-fi. All right, that's sci-fi in a different way. Like, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know how to explain it, all right?
Wow, dude.
Here's what I mean.
All-encompassing, the greatest.
Let me explain, right? I know that the Dead Space games were great. I haven't played them. I never played really Mass Effect other than the first one, and I never beat the first one. Like I don't know why, but maybe because I just dedicated all my space love to Halo. Maybe that's why.
I don't have enough room. I love all of those games you just said.
Yeah, I know, and I know they're good games. I don't know why. I just, for some reason, every time it's in space, I don't know why. Maybe because Halo was like one of the first games I ever played.
You're like,
and to be honest, like Halo's competitive. Multiplayer is really the thing that pulls me personally. For
sure. What I'm sensing is you're like Australians with Vegemite, where it's just like, this is gonna be, I'm gonna just gravitate all of my love and palate towards this. Everything else, no. As a lover of sci-fi and space,
we here at Pretty Much Geek understand that Australians have a wide variety of palate choices and like more than just Vegemite.
We do, and as having some of our past admins be Australian, they've also told me they understand it, they get it, and they also don't expect anyone to enjoy it as much as they do. And it's one of those funny things. It's a train that you get when you're a kid. If you don't, there are people that just don't fuck with it, and they'll have it as adults for the first time, and they'll be like, "The fuck is this?" I'm pretty sure there's like
Halo is a little more accessible than Vegemite.
Yeah,
I agree, and it was also a metaphor. But who knows? Well, I like funky shit.
You don't like Star Wars games, though, Alonzo. You don't like fucking Battlefront.
I forget. Okay, that's true. I do like those. I don't know. Maybe.
You like multiplayer experiences? It sounds like not much.
And maybe it's the multiplayer experiences when it comes to space and multiplayer.
Like sci-fi RPGs, you're not super into necessarily.
Or campaign.
I would. Maybe put it better like that.
Yeah, because Mass Effect, that's what I've been playing all of my surgery recovery. Like, since I've been out of work, I've just been playing the Mass Effect, what is it called, Collector's Edition?
Oh, yeah.
Or Ultimate Edition. It's so awesome.
You playing it on, and which one are you on right now?
Oh, I finished it.
Madman, I believe it.
Oh, I went fucking hard. I went hard. I wanted to have a relationship with some, like, I wanted a new relationship, and so I started from the beginning with
Liara?
I think it's Liara, yeah, Liara Tassoni. I didn't want to mix her up for Arya, who's in the second one also. But Liara started in the first one, and then I went to the second one, and she's, like, barely in the second one, but she's, like, a badass shadow broker, like, mm-hmm. who, you know, delves out information in the shadows. Mm-hmm. And so she's barely in it, but you have a full DLC with her, and she's just very... I don't know if this is going to make me sound like I need video game relationships, but, like, this is the only one I tried in a long time, and she's just, like, super distant the whole video game, and I'm like, I'm not about that. I need someone, like Garrus, who my main bro, who's been, like, my best friend in all the games. Why didn't I just go with him? Like, my brothers told me.
Garrus will be there for you to the end.
Yes, he will, and he's an amazing person, or Turian. Like, he's a great companion and one of the best friends you can have, and I fucking squandered the relationship. I ended up with nobody.
Nah, because bro. You know what? You go with Tali.
I wish I chose Tali too, because they have a whole new thing with her face reveal. Like, I guess, so I didn't even get to experience the new face reveal because I wasn't
ready. Didn't know right. that. That I'm was she was my idiot. Choice my last playthrough when I played it on 360.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give you that chance to have a relationship with her in the first game, but you know, hey, just a conversation here and there, and they when they allow it into it it blossoms.
Yeah, they added a bunch of new love dialogue or romance options in the DLC, like for 3, and so I was kind of excited to see that, but I ended up just having a one night stand with the Prothean DLC character, and I was like, I feel like I need to take a shower. I didn't feel very good about it.
it's your shepherd. Sometimes it's like that.
Sometimes it's like that, you know?
Speaking of disgusting alien sex, that Avatar game looks pretty disgusting. Good, huh?
Great segue, Eddie. Great segue.
Honestly, whenever, you know, it was so weird because it literally reminded me of, like, whenever there would be a new movie and they're like, we're going to release a video game aside this movie for no reason other than because nobody was asking for this.
A lot of the Marvel movies kind of got video games, but like the older Marvel movies before it was MCU.
I think Captain America was the last
the Spider-Man
one.
The Spider-Man games are so fun.
Spider-Man, X-Men.
X-Men. I love X-Men Legends. Like, of the old, what were those games called where you band together? Why can't I remember?
Ultimate Alliance.
Band of Brothers.
Ultimate Alliance is one of the best, like, games. The first two, they're so fucking good. The second X-Men Legends, though, that lets you be Magneto and the Brotherhood of Evil. I'm always for any game that will let me be Magneto. Any game.
The game... I mean, it looks, you know. I mean, sure.
I'm kind of whatever. Like, it looks cool.
It looks cool.
Much like Avatar, it's gonna look cool, but who knows how like good it's gonna
be. We've been all wary of Avatar and James Cameron. It's like he's like, I'm working on the second one. I've got like all of everything done up, and we've done this part in Disney World.
I'm the reason they finished the new Unreal Engine. I helped them finish it for this game. It's gonna revolutionize everything.
All right, James.
Okay.
Like, the Avatar people aren't dinosaurs, but I really did want to talk about the fact that I really love the new Jurassic World games because they're playing like the old Jurassic Park games where you could build your own. It was like it's like Dinosaur Tycoon.
Okay. As a dino nerd kid that was all into that shit, I'm excited for this game. That being said,
you should have loved those games. Yeah,
I want. I want Bethesda or some like open world RPG where I walk around and I'm able to like survive and run and do some shit. I know Ark exists and it's kind of there, but you know what I mean. I think Far Cry Primal was about as close as we got to it, and I don't want exactly a shooter like Turok, but
I like Turok.
I did like Turok as well, and that's another IP that it needs to like give a little love.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the last time we saw it was like maybe like in 360 in the beginning. It's been a minute. I'm excited for Jurassic World Evolution.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be really cool. I don't know if you ever played the old PS2 Jurassic Park. I forget what the game was actually called, but it was Jurassic Park. You kind of, I think it's Isla Nublar or whatever it is. I think
Isla Nublar or Sorna.
Yeah.
I think it was Sorna.
It might be, I think it, yeah, it's one of those. In my head, I can't remember, but that Jurassic Park game was super sweet, and kind of it's not the same as what you're saying, but there's an option of when you do there's like a safari jeep ride that you can have your patrons go on, but you can also go into first person on that, and if a dinosaur gets out, you can go after them in first person and like, you know, take care of them, you know? It was.
Are you giving them a happy dinosaur ending? What do you mean, take care of them?
Oh,
Chompy, Chompy,
running rampant. You know, like you can choose to, you know, sedate them.
Clamposaurus Rex.
It's most definitely.
It's a happy ending for the dinosaurs, is what he's saying.
It's a Kiboshosaurus Rex. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm. The earliest memory I have for Jurassic Park games was like this really shitty PC game from like, I think it was 2003. It was when Jurassic Park 3 came out. And your only reason I remember that is because the Spinosaurus was very prominent in it. And I was, young Marcel was all about it because Spinosaurus is, to this day, my shit. It was like this little board game like you would play around and you would move around the entire game and just like, oh, you rolled this velociraptor's attack, some shit like that.
It was a board game,
but it was digital.
At the time, what was it? The Telltale came out with a Jurassic Park game too.
I remember that one. Yeah,
that was a good one.
There needs to be more dinosaurs in video games, and. I don't know if the Avatar game is going to do it for it. I know Avatar had a game when it came out. Wasn't that good? They had it on
Avatar has dinosaurs, kind of. They have those, like, pterodactyls.
They're dino things. That's always the reason why.
They're dino things.
That's always,
I guess. Yes. Ew. Is that what happens?
So they touch tentacles to have like their like version of like intimacy, and then they like control those things when they ride them with their tentacles.
With the
they
tentacles?
Like, plug them in.
Ooh.
So yeah, they insert themselves into the animals and then have a link with them.
Is this porn?
Nah, no, it's a movie.
It's Avatar.
Academy Award winning.
James Cameron, actually.
Speaking of
disgusting sex with an alien, that Guardians of the Galaxy game looks pretty good, huh, guys?
Why are all the segues... Wait, this time you made it sound a little better than Mass Effect sex. Last time you were like nasty alien sex. Now this is like...
He likes Marvel and he's into the Guardians.
It's,
and
he's playing the motif.
He's playing the political game. I don't like it.
See?
But it actually looks all right. So the first time I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, that looks terrible. And then I kind of saw the extended gameplay and like the choices. That looks kind of fun. The choices
it
look like they
fun.
Maybe matter a little bit. So that's good.
Oh, the Marvel game?
They showed it during the Square Enix like thing. But yeah, it's a Guardians of the Galaxy game.
Yeah, no, it looks cool. I thought it looked
great. I don't like the design.
Yeah, I just saw like a little bit of it at first, and I was like, oh, that looks stupid. But
the
then I saw like way more.
That's
what made me confused. I was like, oh, it looks a little clunky. But then I saw more of it, and it looks all right.
I will take one refined character than them shoehorning six in and it not working, like they did in the Avengers game. It annoyed me at first, but then I remembered how... I think I was talking about me playing it when I was playing, and you're like... And then like halfway through, I went back, and you're like, so how's the game? And I'm like, yeah, I just watched the walkthrough and all the cutscenes, and I just...
I
got tired of
the game. He was like, oh, man, I'm so excited. I'm like, why are you going to get that? I heard it wasn't good. And then he's like, well, the story. And I'm like, yeah, the story, but you can just watch the cutscenes on YouTube. And he's like, no,
it's
man,
not
I'm gonna
the
play
same
the game. I was like, oh, buddy.
Yeah. I'm iffy with any of these games that Marvel's been coming out with.
It's different. I don't think it's Marvel doing it. I think it's like they like contracted it out to like some like development studio.
Probably how EA, they were with, I mean? EA, with EA and like Star Wars.
Yeah, because it's like more comic accurate looks to all the characters.
I would say everyone except for... I think Star-Lord, because Star-Lord is just definitely, they're going for like a weird version of the MCU version, which is technically the comic version, or like now the comic version. I didn't care. At first I was annoyed by the designs for all of them, but then I saw
they're kind of different.
Star-Lord just looks ugly.
But they're unique, which is kind of cool. Wait, who's?
Star-Lord just looks ugly. He looks ugly.
I mean, to be honest,
Hug
the game looked better
bro.
Than the other the other Avenger game they made, though. The Guardians game looked way better than the
other
Avenger.
It's stylized, for sure. But it grows on you. Like, at first I was like, why does Rocket have that little goatee braid? That's
I
fucking
his
dumb.
Beard.
See,
and
that was a choice
was
that
like,
I'm fine with.
I love it. No, now I'm like, I love it. I'm all for it.
Also, we get, then they show it at the end of it. Pre-order and you get like this comic skin and I'm like, I'm fine, okay, that's cool, that's cool. You give me like,
oh, if I can change what he looks like, okay, yeah. Cool,
you give me the 2008 Abnett run of Guardians of the Galaxy, that Star-Lord, I'm fine, I'm gonna shut up and I'll play the rest of the game, I'm fine with it. A lot of it did, of the writing did seem a little like we're just riffing off of the, you know, what we know from James Gunn, but without a lot of the originality of James Gunn. We'll see. It was just a showcase. May not even be part of the game. True. But the game's coming out at the end of the year. I'll play it.
It's done.
Yeah. It's only going to be single player. It's not doing any of that. It's not going to be co-op. It's not going to be all of this MMO shit. That's the thing. If you look at all of the stuff going on, if you want to go for a laugh and just see people just berate and yell at developers, go to the Avengers Facebook page. And they're constantly updating and giving skins, and literally every single comment. I go actively out of my way to go look at it every now and then. Let's see what's going on. And they're just like, come on, guys, quit being so lazy. You're just giving a reskin of this one and this one. And they're just like, oh, you guys are still playing this game, and you're still playing it, and you're still bitching about it. This is a toxic relationship between fans
stop
and
playing.
That
look, fans will get whatever they can, all right, to play.
I follow the Hitman pages on Facebook all the time, and they're just constantly getting shit because they're not releasing any new content. They're just constantly just, hey, here's a new suit.
There's a mobile game. There's a mobile game coming out.
Yeah, the new Hitman. Or wait, Hitman Snipers. I saw that.
Hitman Go.
But it's not
much. We needed more for Hitman 3. Like, there was like five, maybe four playable maps, and I bought like the special edition, and then that didn't even come with the DLC they ended up coming out with right afterwards, which is just a bunch of suits. And I was like, damn it. Like, why are you still money grubbing when I've been just a loyal fan?
I mean, that's how I process. That's honestly how I felt about this whole Bethesda moving over to Microsoft thing. That's why I was happy about it, because they got so arrogant in the way that they were, every choice that they were making before that this purchase. And we'll see what happens after the fact. That's why I was happy to see like Starfield. Alonzo, I know that you're not that big of a when it comes to space, but obviously since me and Sawyer are talking about like romancing characters in games, and we're like we invest a lot of time, and it's I think I'm really excited to see what we have here. That being said, I'm cautious. You know, it's been a minute since I've really had like that full on like, all right, just Bethesda wow me, and
well, how long has it been since Bethesda's made like an RPG?
6 years. Fallout 4 was the last one.
I was gonna say since Skyrim on your microwave.
Exactly. So a year
in a Tesla.
Or in car, or something like that, or I don't know.
Fus Rodah, you just say the shouts at the
which
at the
I was on the car. Phone with this dude, with Alonzo, like the entire when we were watching the Microsoft conference, and he was like I'm ready for Skyrim, and then I'm like, they're not gonna fucking do it, and then they bring it up like Skyrim 10-year anniversary. I'm like, motherfuckers, had to find
let's go
some way to bring
every
it
year
up.
Baby,
they're so tone deaf,
like clockwork.
They
that's
must
a big complaint I had, I think, about E3 from what I saw at least, which was mostly like Nintendo stuff. Which is, like, it was just so many, like, remakes, remasters.
Mm-hmm. That's shit, what it's been for, know? Like, a it's while
Skyward,
now.
Skyward Sword.
I don't need another port. Like, I get it, because, like, if you have a Switch and you don't care about graphics, like, it is kind of dope that now you get to play Witcher 3 on there. It sucks that you have to pay $60.
Yeah.
And it's not that good of a... It's not that... I mean, it's a good port considering you get to take it on the go. But it's not as good as the $60 you'd pay. I mean, you don't even pay $6.
No, you pay like $10, dude. You can get the base game on download for like $10.
Yeah.
Get the expansions for like $20, $25.
A lot of it is the convenience. Right? When we were on the road to go to Denver, the night before, I'm like, all right, I'm going to have my Switch. This is my one chance. I'm going to be in the back of the car. This is my road trip. I haven't felt like this since I was like a kid. Do I want to play BioShock and spend $20? To have that and play it on the go?
The collection.
I might. And I already own it on my PlayStation and my Xbox. But can I play it on the go? And I was thinking about it. Sure. I didn't do it, but I thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it lies.
I'm excited for the Ace Attorney game that's finally showing up. Because it was only in Japan that it released, like, the new Ace Attorney game. And so now I can play that on the Switch. That's the one thing takeaway I'll get, like a port that I wasn't, you know, able to get before. I'm actually happy about that one.
They had something like that seemed similar-esque, but it was like a classroom, and like someone is murdered,
ooh,
and then like you have to figure out who was like murdered based on like gathering evidence and stuff.
And it wasn't Phoenix Wright, or it was. Like,
it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't an Ace Attorney because it wasn't like a law.
Like the new one's courtroom. Like a detective.
Oh, yeah.
Objection.
The new one's a detective.
No, it was like the mascot was like a weird bear that was half white, half black. Oh. I forget the name. Oh, man. But it seemed pretty cool. A lot of like cutesy little things seemed really cool from Nintendo. Like Monkey Ball looked cool.
Yeah, Monkey Ball was super cool. Monkey
that
Ball.
Actually, you know, it looked cool. Like, it looked fun. I was excited, but...
I know.
Nothing
I think
big, nothing meaty.
The only thing, and I think it's like everyone, I remember on Twitter, everyone was saying everyone needs to lower their fucking expectations for tomorrow. And
but like, no Pokemon? No, there's like two
I know.
Pokemon games coming up.
Diamond
no
Pearl's Pokemon, coming out this month or this year.
Bruv.
Arceus.
The best they had was this.
But they have the Pokemon Directs and they're different. But, you know, I get it. It's like, and this is why it's like Metroid Dread. If we're talking about Nintendo just for
that
a
looks
minute,
cool.
There's not much to talk about.
That does look cool.
Metroid Dread looks fucking amazing. I just want that nice little like 2D side scroller action, and then we're also going to be getting Metroid 4, or is Metroid Prime 4 coming like later next year?
At some point,
oh, hell yeah!
And
I'm like, I'm fine with that.
Been working on it forever, though.
How hard would it have been to also just announce a collection of just Metroid 1 through 4?
I would love that.
That's fine. Just do it. I mean, granted, everyone wanted something from Zelda. We got stuff. we got Skyward Sword.
Yeah, they
Sword.
Showed that little teaser. Yeah,
we got Breath of the
teaser
Wild 2,
for Breath
baby.
Of the Wild 2, which I in my head, I'm of the mentality, I'm like, is this really a full Zelda game? It seems more like I think of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood or, you know, Miles Morales, where it's like a half game. But
for sure,
I don't know.
We
haven't seen much of it.
Is this two?
You see
so
that you apparently
whole...
you're gonna explore the sky. So you're gonna the sky is above Hyrule. So if anything, it's twice. It could potentially be twice the size map.
But my fear is that we're gonna get the same map though. I don't want to just get the same fucking map and just be like, oh, here I am.
I doubt it's gonna be the same.
It's Nintendo, dude. Yeah, they're not lazy with it. I don't, you know, for the most part.
I did see that they're being very quiet and they're calling it Breath of the Wild 2 because the title they're being quiet on because it'll release more information about the actual plot. So I'm guessing it's like Breath of Legend of Zelda Ganon's something or Zelda, I don't know.
Search for Ganon.
Link's demise or some shit. I don't know.
They've been teasing.
I mean, look in this spoiler. There's like three main characters in the whole goddamn series.
I know,
series.
But you know, Nintendo. Right.
They've been
Majora's
teasing the
Mask
fact that they
2.
Don't know. They don't know whether or not it's like Link or Zelda
that
in
might
some
be
of the
badass.
Scenes too, because Zelda might be a playable character in this next one. So that's what I kind of
like. The title on YouTube is "Sequel to the Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild, E3 2021 teaser."
Yeah, because it could be something that reveals the fact that you're playing as two different characters.
And
possibly.
I'm game for it. That's cool.
Breath of the Wild, San Andreas.
CJ shows up. Yeah, man, I'm looking at a lot of the highlights from this direct, and besides Dread, there is nothing for me. I think I was also falling asleep when I woke up, like, it was like 8:45 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, alright, what do you got for me? And nothing had me staying up, and I'm looking at all this stuff, and I'm like, yeah, this is kind of just...
I hate to say it, and it makes me sound just like an annoying, ungrateful, like, fan or whatever, but, like, stuff no one asked for, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
For sure.
It was fucked up because I wrote on a chalkboard, like, all the things they could possibly announce, and then literally one of them, I just put JRPGs, and, like, that had the most announcements. There was, like, 20 JRPGs
you're right.
announced.
I mean, Mario and Rabbids. I mean, there's kids. See, there's kids and there's people. There's an audience for this.
Right.
But
other demographics.
I love the Mario Party Superstars announcement. Like, I just,
see,
like...
Again,
see, again,
though,
I
it's
saw
just
love
a
for
collection
that, yeah.
of... Oh, they're repackaging...
Exactly.
...old games. Like...
I was just happy about it. I think there's a new Mario
that?
Golf.
What,
is there a new Mario
yeah,
Golf?
We also got
the
a
Mario
new...
Golf looks cool.
Yeah. We have a new WarioWare, which... that's just... Again, not my shit. I want Nintendo to come out and be like, listen, motherfuckers, you guys are arguing about your new fucking consoles. Bitch, I'm going to drop every single... new fucking Star Fox, new F-Zero, Metroid would have been in there, Zelda. Here's also... And that's because everyone was hyping it up. The Super Nintendo Switch. I was ready for it, and I wanted
They were like,
it.
Here's this random Game & Watch... That you can play these four old Zelda games.
Zeldas. Yeah,
I was like, oh, okay.
I was so mad because I wanted. It's like the 35th anniversary for that. I know Mario had his 35th this year as well, or was it last year? I don't remember exactly, but it was. They had like the 35th anniversary game or the collection of like all of those three great 3D games. I was so ready for them to do one for like with Majora's Mask. Ocarina.
They're doing
and
it with Final Fantasy. They're doing like a 1-6 collection.
They are
of the old Final Fantasy.
But right. the same thing you're saying, dope. Where it's you know not really a new
but
game.
Yeah. Same thing though. Yeah.
I just
like,
love.
Cool, but why is that what you're announcing and announcing? You know what I mean? But at the same time though, it's because fucking Nintendo's gangster, dude. They can just do whatever the fuck they want, and they know I'm gonna buy out their shit.
It's true.
They don't give a fuck.
The thing
that guy
also.
Was snapping. Did you see him do that pimp snap whenever he was changing? I was like, damn, that's he tight.
it was the snapping of a man who was way overconfident about the actual games he was talking about. Yeah,
100%.
He was like,
wasn't
check
that
this out,
great?
Bitch.
And I'm like, nah.
Nah.
He's like, listen, I know that everyone's going to be underwhelmed, but you know what's going to save everyone? The snapping.
The snapping.
Yeah, dude, that was...
Not to get us away from this topic, but talk about things that are definitely not going to disappoint us through the preview. I'm talking Elden Ring, baby. Elden Ring's going to be so good.
Okay, I honestly don't know much.
Is that the George R.R. Martin one?
Yes, it is. This is George R.R. Martin.
That Miyazaki. Sounds crazy.
Yeah. See, it's the brains coming together on that. It's like fans of Soulsborne games and Miyazaki and all of this crazy Japanese lore are finally coming together with the man who creates the amazing lore. Like, so it's almost like the missing pieces of each person are probably meeting right now. Which I love. I love the subtlety of a Soulsborne game and all From Software stuff. But, you know, they leave a lot of, like, information out there for us to kind of understand. I feel like this game's going to be a lot more specific, a lot more lore that, you know, we'll probably be able to piece together a full story this time. I'm so excited.
What is the culmination of, like, that, that Gravity Falls meme of, like, where it's like, finally, after all these years, I have them all.
Yeah, no, it's. I'm very excited about even the. I don't know if you saw the preview at all, but
I saw the preview. My thing with the Souls games is, and I've told your brother this multiple times, is that I wish that I love the art design, I love the atmosphere, I love everything about it, and the most that I played was, and Alonzo was there when I actually gave it my actual try for Dark Souls. I just don't have the patience.
They're too hard. They're too hard.
They're
just
too
hard.
They're too hard, man. No, I can't. I'm the same way. They're too hard. I'm just like, oh, this isn't fun. I get discouraged.
There's no ecstasy quite like the feeling.
Once you finally beat it.
Fucking someone up who just had your number. Especially Sekiro, which is the last one that they came out with. Or not, I guess, not including Demon Souls, the new one. But, Sekiro, I feel like Elden Ring is taking a lot of things that made Sekiro great, like verticality and jumping and sneaking and things like that that was never in a Dark Souls game. Now it's almost presenting like a mix of the perfect things about what made all of the games great. So I'm super excited about all of the new adventures and excitement that I'm going to go on, because killing those fuckers is just the best goddamn feeling. Like, it's Sekiro, where it's more of a rhythm base rather than, like, a roll here and a roll there. It's like you have to block at the exact right times. That might be the easiest one out of all of them, and it's pretty difficult itself. But when
I do relate to that feeling, because I get that with, like, really hard platform games. Like, platforms.
For sure. It's almost the same.
I'll get more of that where I'm just, like, there's a level where I can repeat it and I get less, I'll get frustrated, but it's less discouraging and more like, oh no, I'm going to get it this time. It's more like a problem to solve to me, I guess. And in my brain, I'm more down to do that, solve this problem, than I am to like fight this opponent, I guess. I don't know, something totally. in my mindset. Like, I don't mind, you know, obviously action based games and stuff. And like, I'll obviously fight a boss, like nobody's business, but if it is like too hard, I'm just like, I'm over this fucking thing, whatever. Whereas with like a platformer, I'm just like, I can do this. I know.
Yeah, and those probably are comparable in like the amounts of deaths that experience, you know? Like 100%. When it shows you died this many times.
Yeah.
Is always a fun thing to see. But I think Miyazaki just gets off on the fact that people, you'll constantly die, almost go insane. Like, from the amount, and then he'll stack something on top once you get halfway through that guy who's been killing you. You're like, okay, I think I could take this guy. So now the giant gorilla turns into two gorillas. It's like, I think they get off on insurmountable odds. And, like, almost like how JoJo is, where it's like it's all about the human fighting against insurmountable odds. And, like, this identity or this villain who is almost impossible to beat, but they somehow overcome those odds. I think you are playing as that person who's just so small in this universe, who is so easy to kill. You know, you're just super, most of the time, super easy to kill. Almost one shot will kill you all the time. But just you mastering that style of dodge here, dodge here, dodge here. This is his weakness, so you get around here. It's one of the best pieces of art that you can put together yourself. And I think there aren't a lot of games that have those challenges or that feeling of ooh, I beat this guy. I got him beat. And you like, maybe it's like a few hits away from it, but you in your mind, in your heart, you know, this is the last time I'm going to be fighting this guy. So you pull out all the stops. Ugh, it's so great. Especially Sekiro, just like really driving your sword into their heart every time. It's so great.
You know what I say is another feeling that I don't want to deal with is that feeling where I'm like, ooh, I really shouldn't have thrown my controller across the room. Now I got to buy a new one.
Oh, I haven't done that in a minute because now I have to buy my own controllers. I'm not a kid where like my mom will just buy me a new controller. But like, yeah, I feel that.
I know my patience and lack thereof that I have. Would love to, you know, Sawyer, if you want to live stream it, I'll watch you play it. And or if he will say that, you know what, they kind of got like a, I think, what was it, in Wolfenstein, they have like they mock you and like the fact, yeah, go ahead, here's a baby mode, fuck it, yeah. I don't care, I'll take the baby mode.
Yeah, 100%. Wolfenstein 2, there was like 7 difficulty modes. I'm like, why is there so many difficulty modes?
Yeah, one of them has and a pacifier in his mouth, like,
yeah. I was like, I don't want to go past like the second one, what the fuck.
Yeah, they make me feel like a bitch if I pick these ones.
They make you feel like a fucking baby.
I went a level above what I thought would be normal for me. And I gotta say, there was some times where I was like, fuck this game, dude. Because it was like, I couldn't. And then I did get past that part, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I had to turn that down. I couldn't beat Doom. Like, I'm just an old man. Sometimes I'm on easy mode now. I can't. Doom. Because games are supposed to be fun.
So good.
Yeah, Doom Eternal, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. But, like, I don't know if it's getting old or just not playing first-person shooters all the time anymore, but like, yeah, Doom Eternal got me. It was like, I can't think that fast.
Doom, like, see, those id games.
It's just, in general, I think it's just having the patience to learn like how to move around and stuff. And it's just like over and over and over and over again.
Cause, I hear you.
You know, I think the designers at id are very much in the same vein of like those developers of what's the studio that does Elden Ring and stuff like that?
From Software.
They're on that same one where, like, no, we're trying to challenge you. We're here to make this as hard as we can be. But, unlike those other ones, they will give, you know, all right, you little casuals, you want to be able to, like,
go in the kiddie pool? I appreciate them, like, allowing us to play the game and to get through it.
You know? Exactly. It's like, okay, I'm there, too.
We should stream, because those are great multiplayer games, and, like, you'll feel like you conquered the boss when you have your buddies with you, too. We could do a thing where we stream, like, Bloodborne or something, and I'll just be, you know, there to assist you and lead you.
I'd be down.
That honestly sounds like a fun idea.
Bloodborne is amazing. Bloodborne's probably, Parker and I talk about it a lot, I think Bloodborne might be our favorite, because it's
so good. Yeah, Bloodborne's my favorite.
And a lot of people, I mean, my friend David, who had a PlayStation before me, he had Bloodborne for so long, and he hadn't played it, and he hadn't got past the first, you know, few bosses, because it's just, it gets to people sometimes. You can't be, you know, if you can't get through it once, you're going to just throw it down. You know, I do the same thing with most games. I think Shovel Knight had me, where I was like, all right, whatever, I don't need to do this shit anymore.
There's a lot when it comes to, like, if we're wanting to go move forward with the, like, you know, co-op and, like, you know, multiplayer. Since we kind of glossed over like the like 70% of it that was rest over in the Xbox, there's a lot of co-op games. Back for Blood was they showed more of it. I'm insanely excited for this because it's essentially like Left 4 Dead 3. It's the same developers that worked on it.
Yes.
It's just not Valve.
Yeah. Spiritual successor.
And it's on Game Pass day one, which is what I saw for most of these. And I'm just like, ooh, this
that was really, in my opinion, the biggest, like, I think the biggest surprise, not even surprise, just kind of like, it really made me take a step back and look at Game Pass as a whole. Because, you know, I've been a Game Pass subscriber since the day they announced it. And I was like, okay, you know, might as well just have these games, like, you know, might as well, because, you know, when all the new consoles usually come out, there's like nothing to play. And I was like, you know what, if I have Game Pass, whether or not I get an Xbox Series X, if not, I can just play all these games on my PC anyways, which I do. But now with all these announcements, how basically all of them are basically coming to day one fucking Game Pass, and I don't need to purchase it. They announced something like 30 games, and like 25 of them are coming to Game Pass day one. I'm like, Jesus, like, I'm not even gonna buy anything.
For the most part, like, coming to PC, which
that's what I'm saying, man. I'm sorry, continue, Marcel.
Yeah, I think we're on the same wavelength, because it's just like, to me, like, I could easily. I'm in the market where, okay, I can spend money on an Xbox Series X. Yes, they're supporting Xbox One right now, and I have the S, and I can kind of, I can get a little more mileage out of that right now. But I could, instead of just getting the Series X and limiting myself, I can go and build a fucking PC, suit it up. Alonzo fucking just finished doing that shit. He's my fucking IT guy when it comes to all that shit. And I can get them that will work for, like, just a workstation and play all these boss-ass games on top of everything else that I have. I've been fighting for tooth and nail, and Alonzo will tell you this, since fucking day one. I've been so anti-PC and so against it and not wanting to move with it. Kind of the same way I was with digital years and years ago. And here we are now, and here I am exactly just embracing the exact opposite, because it's just so it's too good. It's too good. That's of an idea.
Yeah, they're making it really good. They're making you want to switch over.
And consoles are constantly fucking us over, so there's no reason not to.
Yeah. I think it's what Microsoft is. That's their big plan, man. Like, it has to be. They're going to just event. This might be their last console.
I agree. I feel like, even. I agree.
Like, physical console. Whereas they're just going to be a virtual console where you pay your little, whatever it is, what is it, like $15 a month or something for Game Pass?
I think it's like, yeah.
No, you're totally affordable. You're 100% on the nose, because, you know, honestly, that's kind of the crazy thing is, like, back when they announced the Xbox One, I remember they had the whole announcement was really a debacle where they had to backtrack on everything, because the original plan was for the console to be basically like sort of like your Roku, where it's like a box that allows you to stream and access these kinds of games and such. And so it's really interesting how back then it didn't seem worth it at all. It's like, why would I want to buy these games and not be able to share them and, you know, with my friends and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. But now, you know, all these years later, with them buying up all these studios and offering all these games that come with the service, like, it almost, like, makes sense to no longer purchase games. Especially, like, honestly, for me, and it's something I don't think I'd ever say, and yet again, the only exception for this is Halo. I'm never going to buy a brand new game ever again. I mean, I'm not paying $70 to play a game, like, day one. Mm-hmm. I'll wait a few months till it drops to 40, second, 50 second bucks. Market,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, but I'm not spending $70 to get myself just to get day one. You know, I've ran on that hype train enough for enough years that I can wait. You know,
and I think,
especially if it's a single player experience.
That's the biggest thing right here is, like, Microsoft knows that that's gonna come down to it. It's like, sure, spend $70 on a new PlayStation game, which I will, because I'm gonna get my PS5 one day. It's not fucking broken and the Slim comes out, but it makes way much more sense if your cost effectiveness to just constantly have Game Pass, because I can play on my Razer, I can play on my Xbox, because now Sawyer and me are conjoined with our systems. Thank you, Sawyer. But it makes more sense. And even before this, like a few days, they announced that they're working on like a Roku stick and new TV companies for the Xbox to be included inside TVs.
Wow.
So there you go.
They're already included in all your computers. I mean, Microsoft or Windows is on every PC, right? So, like, all PCs, unless you have a Mac, you got Windows, that's Microsoft. All it has, they just, okay, it's going to come with the little Xbox app, and it's just already on there. You know what I mean? It's almost like they're doing half the work for you to get you in there, in that door, and use their service.
And like I was,
yeah, exactly.
I think, like I was saying before, and I think we've brought it up in another podcast before this, not to shit on, you know, the parade of consoles and video games, but the Xbox One and the PS4 have been almost like the least, like, there has been almost no upgrade whatsoever, like, to in the quality of the games that we're getting. That, like, I think we've all become a little bit disheartened buying new games because they haven't been really churning out as much as when we got those new consoles, or when, like, the old consoles, like, when we had PS2s and PS3s and shit. Like, I feel like we got more better, like, a little bit better quality of games. We're all hesitant to get the new generation because there's not really anything.
The, like, lines are really more blurred. It's a lot harder, especially since we're at the beginning of it, because I remember when Village came out, like, a month ago, that was constantly what I kept on seeing, is that people were like, all right, let's compare PlayStation 5, PS4, not much of a difference.
Yeah. Same,
Xbox Series X had a little bit of an edge, but that was just because it's fucking Series X, and they're, you know. But that's also probably because this was a game that was meant for last gen, and they're just pushing it on the new gen, and we're in the beginning stages of it. But you can easily see the difference if you looked at the PC. And that's always been the case. And it always will be the case. And this is, yeah, Game Pass is, this was very much more of like just flaunting even more so why it makes sense. Because on top of this, Bethesda, they came out and they're like, yep, here's like everything we've done. It's all here now, today, right now. And I check it and I'm like, yep, all the Fallout games, Fallout 1, 2, Tactics, Brotherhood of Steel. No one likes Brotherhood of Steel, but they included it and I appreciate it. 3, New Vegas, all of it. It's all on there. Same thing with all the Elder Scrolls games and Doom. And
now you can play it all. It doesn't cost you anything extra. Like, if you're already paying for the service.
Exactly.
It costs you nothing to be like, fuck it, let me look at this shitty game and play it for a little bit. And, like, you know what I mean? It almost makes it potentially more fun because you're not losing anything.
There's no sacrifice.
Yeah, I've been trying. Maybe play it, like, for the novelty of it being kind of silly or whatever.
Yeah, I think the cool thing...
Sorry, go ahead.
The cool thing, too, is, like, as far as I know, I don't think any of these, like, you know, because one thing I know that still happens, for example, with, like, Netflix and stuff, is that movies come and go on the service, or, like, for example, The Office, right, was on Netflix, and then it went away. But as far as I know, I don't think any game that becomes, like, available on Game Pass eventually gets pulled off. I think it's, like, one of those things.
Some do. The developers Some choose. Do, actually. Like, Rockstar, yeah, GTA 5 was on there for like, a good year. And then they bounce it out to put Red Dead on there. And so there's a few that come in. But a lot of these ones that were like Microsoft Studio included. Because Microsoft...
Oh, those are staying there forever.
Yeah, Microsoft bought like 38 fucking... They own like a fuck ton of studios. And they haven't done... They've done next to nothing with some of them to like a couple things here and there with a few of them. This was them finally like, all right, here's a lot.
This was the big move. This was the big
Yeah.
Push.
Psychonauts 2 looks fucking great. It looks like a Pixar game.
I want to play that game so
Yeah, dude.
Excited for a new Psychonauts.
Fallout 76, don't give a shit. But hey, man, cool. Like,
they really want us to care about that.
I'm like, that's fine. Hades, Diablo 2. I'm like, I was all for most of this. Atomic Heart is.
That looks so fun.
I'm insanely excited for that. It looked. A lot of people were. I saw people comparing it to a Fallout, but I'm like, I think you're just wanting to look for something that has like a vintage aesthetic to it. It looked more like Bioshock.
I think it's Bioshock. Yeah, it's way closer to Bioshock.
Yeah, very much Bioshock.
So, but as you guys still, know, like I played a Persona 5 recently, right? And I fell in love with that game. So they announced Shin Megami Tensei 5, which is basically like the sister title to the Persona series. It's like the OG one.
Oh, no way.
And that looks badass. Yeah, dude. It's going to be on the Switch,
I saw that, but I didn't know the significance of it, so that's cool.
Yeah, it's the same like thing. It's the other half to it, I guess you could say. Like, a lot of the same, like the shadows or whatever from Persona 5 are like the demons or whatever in this series of games.
Oh,
and
fun.
It's like almost the exact same character designs and stuff. Yeah, but it's different. Like, it's different themes, I guess, and shit. But I'm excited. It looks dope.
Half of me expected
I mean, the cool thing is I feel like there was enough diversity of games. That's one thing I will say, too. Like, even though I feel like there wasn't really necessarily anything so crazy mind-blowing that was announced by anybody, I think in general there was at least enough variety for most people to have gotten at least something out of the E3.
What was your guys' like top little handful that you're excited about?
For more recent, I would say definitely Back 4 Blood, obviously Halo Infinite, and I don't know the name of the game, but it looks like it's the same developers as Inside or Limbo.
Somerville.
So yeah, that one.
Somerville
that
looks so fun, where you're a family instead of just one person. That looked like a lot of fun.
I don't think it's the same game. Developers, but it has definitely the same feel. Like the same feel, like same inspiration.
That one, I mean... Redfall looked really cool. The whole vampires, like, four-base vampire one that was just, like, a CGI trailer.
Yeah, right.
That'll look like it'll be cool. I don't know if it will, but I hope
it is. We didn't get any gameplay on that one, I don't think.
That's the bummer of E3, too, is, like, a lot of it, it's like, oh, these are just, like, trailers that you guys made with, like...
Like, cinematic
software. Yeah, cinematic software, and, like...
That's...
They all just have that little, not representative of actual gameplay, like, at the bottom and shit. And I'm like, come on.
I felt that about Redfall, which is their big, like, wait, yeah, there's more. It looked cool. It was, like, this co-op, like, a vampire game that looked really interesting. I love the art design for that. It was, like, realistic, but cartoonish, but not too cartoonish, like Fortnite, but just somewhere in between. Arkane Studios, I'm like 50-50 with. They're the guys that Dishonored and I think it was Prey. They do good work. But it was all like CGI, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. it's just, you know, I can only get like so hyped up, and I think majority of the industries move past that because that was kind of like the big joke for years. That's like, yeah, cool, great cutscene. Let me see the game.
Yeah, it's like cool CGI trailer.
I was really excited for Halo, Metroid, a few things here and there. I think I've kind of like just made comments on the things that I was looking for.
What was the biggest surprise for everybody? That's what I'm really curious to know. Like, what were you actually surprised? I think for me, it probably Psychonauts 2. I didn't play Psychonauts as a kid, so I didn't really care for it. But once I saw the gameplay, I'm like, yo, this is like a lot of fun.
If you can go back
and get play it, like, you can probably. Do you have a PlayStation? Yeah, right.
You can play Psychonauts.
Yes.
Yeah, you can get it for like $5 on the Play Store.
It's on the Game Pass too, if you have a game.
Oh, boom!
Is it on Game? There it is. There it is.
On Game Pass.
That's
my biggest surprise. Was probably the fact that we still haven't heard about Vampire Masquerade Bloodlines 2. Like, yeah. they keep talking.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just to keep it in conversation, but
is that on Microsoft?
Done. I think it is the Microsoft one, yeah.
I think me and, you know, that's funny. A couple months ago, me and Alonso were, like, looking at a few, some gameplay trailers for just some random games. I think we're looking at Scorn and shit like that. A couple, like, offshoot games. And we saw that one, and I'm like, this looks fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love, you know, RPGs, and a vampire RPG is always the, you know, always going to pull in my little heartstrings.
Not hard to ask for, but hard to acquire.
I think my favorite things that I saw there... I told you guys about the game before, but Planet of Lana, that game looked beautiful. It's like a side-scroller, but gorgeous art. Not sure what it's all going to be about, but it looked like some kind of game that you could really lose yourself in just because of the artwork.
Yeah.
And quite obviously, I mean, Somerville, but also I already talked about it, but Elden Ring, it's going to be the shit. So everyone needs to get on that so we can all play it together. So yeah, I'll teach you all to play Dark Souls and get through it all and understand the hype so that when this comes out, we can all play and be in each other's game. That shit's so fun.
I think that the one I'm looking forward to the most is Microsoft Flight Simulator. I really I've lived next to a airport for the past like 18 years. And, you know, I think I just want to make that push, and I'm a little unsure about it, but hey, thanks to Game Pass and thanks to Microsoft, I'll be able to fulfill that destiny that I've been wanting for all these years.
You know, what's also on Game Pass is that PC Builder Simulator.
Oh, yeah.
Have you played that? I like Alonzo was just talking about he took a real class for it, but I was like, I might buy that and learn how to do make a PC.
And then apply your passion to it.
Yeah. And then just, yeah, use it. It's almost like, it's like a someone telling you how to build something that's way better than itself. The Xbox is just going to teach me how to make a PC and be like, okay, well, don't abandon me when you're done.
Bro, Sea of Thieves, Captain Jack Sparrow edition? Come on.
That's what I'm saying.
Playing that game by yourself is one of the most lonely experiences ever, because you got to run the whole ship and do everything like three other people could help you do, and you could all be doing it really easily, but you're frantically trying to drive a ship by yourself.
It's like, do you want a work simulator, what it's like working a shift? That's kind of what it's like.
I would like a almost Persona 5-esque work simulator where you're like in a kitchen, like a shitty kitchen you're working, but you can... get promoted, you know, and do different things based on your skills. I was thinking about it while I was working at Buffalo Wild Wings having a shitty job.
You can make like, relationships, like, if,
yeah.
if you woo your, like, manager, like, you can get, like, a raise.
Yeah!
Like Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you're just a kiss ass the whole time.
Right. I think it's only a certain point where we're gonna get the Buffalo Wild Wings simulator game.
Hell yeah.
That could work.
When you're here, you're family. Buffalo Wild Wings.
A little too close wings. Like family.
It'll, like, come with a little bottle of, like, mango habanero sauce.
You guys like the Stalker 2 trailer? Because Stalker 2 looked really good.
That's exactly what I forgot to talk about. That was, like, on the bottom list of the previews. But, dude, that looked amazing.
That looks sweet. Yeah.
It's, like, a sequel to a game that came out, like, on PC, like... I think it was like 15 years ago, and apparently it was like Crysis, where it like revolutionized a lot of like graphics for games. It's like based in Chernobyl and like Russia, and there's like a lot of like hidden like
there's like supernatural elements out to there. It. Yeah,
A little like Metro, but also different. and a lot more story based, which Metro is as well. But yeah, this
I felt like Metro. It was kind of similar to Metro for sure.
It looked really good, but Metro probably took inspiration from the first one.
Oh, that makes sense.
I was excited for it though. It looked really cool, and I love the designs. Post-apocalyptic shit. It's my bread and butter.
Oh, you know what? The one thing I will say, I'm sad we didn't see Fable. I thought we were gonna see something.
We didn't see any Fable.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of things we didn't see, but I mean, like
that made sense to put out.
Well, there was a lot of things that we didn't see that would make sense that we would have seen. Like Fable would have made sense because they already said they're working on it.
Yeah.
We saw a trailer for them last year.
We didn't see Elder Scrolls.
We didn't see anything of the new Metroid game. They just talked about it. We didn't see any new Mario Kart or nothing. No new Mario Kart.
They were like, so as you guys know, we've been working super hard on Metroid Prime 4. Like, we've been diligently, like, to bring it to you, the fans. But instead, let me show you this other Metroid game. Snaps his fingers. And I'm just like, okay.
So now there's two Metroid games. So you can't be mad. Because you know we're doing more than what you thought we were doing.
And even Splatoon 2, I was like, okay. I'm like, okay, Splatoon 3 was their big announcement 2 years ago. I'm like, let's get some gameplay. Let's get some fucking something. Nope, nothing for Splatoon 3. I'm like, God.
No, their highlight was JRPGs, Breath of the Wild 2, and
Fighter enters the battle.
Exactly. And yeah, the Smash characters, all Ganon dead. That was like haunting. The dead eyes of Ganon being thrown off into a volcano. That was nuts.
I really hope it's Sora, though.
It's not Sora.
But the last fighter they announced, I hope it's Sora.
Is there only one left?
Yeah, there's one left.
It's been like fucking 30 since the game ended. I was like, at this point, I'm like, oh, you're still doing this? Okay, cool.
Yeah, but the last like four fighters was like four Fire Emblems and Terry, whoever the fuck
they all look the same. I'm like, okay, Joker.
Who's Terry?
There was a lot that was left out of this E3, but Microsoft, they killed it. That's about it. I see more games that I'm interested in playing than I've seen before in the last year or so. Because the last couple of years were kind of like bunk. And I'm expecting Sony to like come out with their thing. Like, everyone that buys a PlayStation is going to get PlayStation stock. You're welcome. Or drop some shit like that.
Something like that. That would be cool.
There's going to be new announcements. There's going to be stuff coming out. Nintendo does their other treehouses throughout the year and directs. But for this E3, I saw more that I liked than I wasn't excited about. So. That being said, if you want to see more that you'll be excited about and that you won't be disappointed with, you can go ahead and look at our archives on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, where we will have shows talking about video games. You can go to our Days of Console Past show, where we talk about the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 generation, and we also talk about horror movies. Star Wars, Marvel, we talk about it all. Subscribe to us, leave us a like, leave us a comment. Gets that conversation going, gets it all flowing. You can also join the community on our Instagram and our Facebook, at Pretty Much Geek. Join in, and we'll have a good time. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me again.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah, brought to you by Xbox Game Pass.
Let's go.
Xbox, give me money. This has been Marcel Delgado, and for everything else important, newsworthy, and pretty much geek, we'll have it covered all under our radar. Catch you guys next time.
Peace out.
See ya.
Bye.